goodbye forever. And welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about God of Weapons, Space Marine 2. Thank goodness you're here, and Frostpunk 2. But first, my name is Christian.
I'm Bobby.
I'm Nick. I'm trying to recover from the range of emotions I just went through. I just saw a movie, and it was incredible. We will go through that in a little bit, though. That's a spoiler. Just a foreshadowing for you guys.
Is it the movie that Bobby said was really sad?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. That movie scares me. I don't know anything about it, but I'm scared.
Yes and, Christian. Yes and.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we have DLGCon coming up really soon here. Exactly 1 month or a little less than a month from now. What is it? How can you join? It is everybody that listens that can participate and come play video games together with us, the casters, all together. It's going to start Friday, the 1st, and end on Sunday, the 3rd of November. And we're going to start at 3 p.m. on Friday and end at sometime on Sunday. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. So we're going to get together at the very beginning, play as much as we can. And then from there, after the first couple hours, we're going to segment the whole week into blocks of who's leading the charge. So we can't say exactly what games because we don't know how many of you are going to show up. But it is free. So I hope a lot of you guys will show up, excuse me. Friday night is going to be Emilio playing drinking games. Might be prizes, stuff like that. Saturday is the big day, whole kinds of stuff going on. Different people will take the reins on that day. And Saturday night will be a really big, we'll try to get as many people as we can, give away the most prizes so we get the most players. And we'll do a live broadcast on Sunday with Q&A at the end of it. That kind of stuff. Bring your own booze, obviously. That kind of setup. Some of the games that have been suggested, and I'm pretty sure we'll get to all of them because it's going to be a fluctuating player base. Golf It, Jackbox titles, Gardic Phone, Pummel Party, Chain Together, Rust, Killing Floor. We're going to be renting our own servers for certain games. And it's going to be a great time. I'm going to take it off all those days. So we will be prepared and ready for fun.
Treat it like a real event, people. Take it off work. Treat yourself to some online. Yeah. When is the last time you and some friends spent a weekend gaming? That can be November 1 to 3rd, you know? Like, why not? You know?
Yeah. Hey, yeah. 100%. Christian, 100%. Like for your block, maybe a 3-hour block where we jump into your Star Wars remastered game or whatever that is.
The remake
that you did for the MMO.
Oh my god, dude. That would be that would be really cool, actually.
Dude, the player count would increase by like 6.
Yeah, we triple the fucking player count.
Guys, Star Wars Galaxy's Restoration is going fine without the DLG bump, but it would be appreciated, not going to lie. Yeah. That would probably help them out. And I don't want to spoil anything, and so I won't, but Bobby has maybe something special up his sleeve, maybe not.
Something super special.
Something. I don't know. You better show up to find out. I don't know. I can't tell you. On this podcast, we ping things, which is just noting something interesting, and I'll start it off with Play Nice, The Rise, Fall, and Future of Blizzard Entertainment by our beloved friend of the show. Just kidding. He doesn't listen. I probably doesn't even know we exist. Jason Schreier, who wrote Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, which is a book I think we've all read and referenced.
It's basically a sponsor at this point, dude. We bring it up almost every other episode.
Yeah, we said it. So, quick synopsis of what's on Amazon here. For video game fans, the name Blizzard Entertainment was once synonymous with perfection. The renowned company behind classics like Diablo and World of Warcraft was known to celebrate the joy of games over all else. Basically, the book is going to go through when Bobby Kotick, the infamous CEO of Activision, cracked down on Blizzard's, and I'm quoting from the Amazon page here, proud autonomy. So I think on this podcast, we have theorized and maybe talked a little bit about how you know, we love Blizzard games, and I grew up on Blizzard games and loving Blizzard games too, like Warcraft, Starcraft, Heroes of the Storm. You guys have played World of Warcraft, even though it's basically like crack. Nick still plays it. And what happened with Blizzard? I guess this book is going to answer that question, and I'm super excited. Is anyone else for, you know, this new hit banger by Jason Schreier?
Definitely. I would listen to it for sure.
Yeah.
Really makes Bobby Kotick sound like he's wearing jack boots to work every day. You know?
Nick, interested, or do you know a little bit about this already?
I do know a smidge about it, but this is actually something I find very, very interesting. It's like watching your friend get addicted to crack in real life, but over like 10 years. Right. You just like see something you love spiral. Just get destroyed slowly but surely. Yeah. And then they find Jesus, and then they're like annoying. I don't know. that's where we're at now, right? For Blizzard.
Yeah.
But I'll either listen to this or I'll make Leslie read it and tell me about it. Because she likes
reading. Okay, and Bobby, is this something you might... I mean, I think you're a fan of our good friend Jason, but...
Yeah, I mean, the thing that makes him so special is he seems to have this inside access in the industry and these connections where he gets these very hidden inside stories or the scoop from people who really know what they're talking about. So I'm excited to see that. The actual topic, like the rise and fall of Blizzard, I don't know. I feel like I've lived through that and I know it pretty well, but maybe he's got a different perspective. That'll be interesting.
Okay. Cool. Four out of four.
Our friends got sucked up into the vacuum of capitalism. That's what happened. The end. But the end. Maybe, yeah.
Stakeholders, will they kill you the soul of your company? 9 times out of 10, you know it.
Yeah.
It should have been that. Okay. Should have been the title.
Nick, what are you pinging this week?
I'm pinging... So we talked about Trading Card Game Shop. It's a fun game. I played it a little bit. I've been playing, I think, about like 3.5 hours of it. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Let me get that. Sorry. Let me get that all day. Let me get that in my ears all day. So there was a Pokemon mod that came out for like 2 days, and then the game updated, and then the mod was like completely destroyed. The mod creator said that they'll bring it back up. There's no like breach of information or whatever, or breach of kind of like copyright, but because it's a mod, but it'll be back sooner or later and back in the game. It replaces all the base cards and information on the cards with actual Pokemon cards.
Is this workshop compliant?
No, you have to go to Nexus Mods and download it. And then all you literally have to do is just drag a folder in another folder. That's it.
Bobby's also going to talk about the same game. Bobby, have you looked into the mod scene for this?
No, I've heard about mods, but I haven't messed with them.
Okay.
Yeah. There's like one mod that you have to install to be able to install other ones. It's like a thing that can change the like text documents and a bunch of other shit. And then you just plop in whatever mod you want in there and that's it.
Yeah. Man, it's so much easier now than it used to be. I made a video. That's my only video I've ever made, is how to mod Skyrim. I think
there's a video that you made out there. How to?
I don't know.
How do I find it? It's Bobby, so exciting. Have it? Where is it?
Might have to dig around for it.
Is it uploaded? I need to find it.
I have to dig it around. Yeah, it's in the waste bin, dude. That's where it is.
Okay. Didn't see the light of day. Okay. Bobby, how is Card Shop doing?
Card Shop's doing all right. It was crazy because we had talked about this when we recorded last. We record on Sundays, release the episode on Tuesday. Tuesday, I saw an article on GameRant.com, and it talked about the different things that they were adding to TCG Card Shop Simulator. And there were a bunch of things that I had mentioned when I had talked about it. So these were probably already in the works, or they heard me like right away. They downloaded the episode, heard the feedback, got right on it.
Yeah, that's highly more likely.
That could have happened too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're adding a lot to it. So number one, customer feedback. I mentioned that customers can come into your shop and they make comments, but other than that, you don't really know what they think of their shop or if you're satisfying the customer. And I mean, you know, at the end of the day, when you get your readout, but there's really no way to like turn that around and be effective about it. So they're going to add customer feedback to it. They're going to add a playable card game to it, which I was saying last week, that would be a lot of work. We probably won't see that, but how cool would it be? Sure enough, they're going to do it. And it doesn't surprise me, because also last week when I talked about TCG Card Shop Simulator, I mentioned that they put a lot of detail into designing these cards with the stats and the pictures and all that. So playable card game, customer feedback. They're going to add card trading and grading. So, things that we had talked about last week too, like they're on top of it. This game is in early access. People really are enjoying it and they're giving a lot of feedback, and it seems like they're responding to that feedback. This could really shape up to be a really good game here.
Nick, are you going to pick this up?
I just said I was playing it, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, cool. I just said I used the Pokemon mod for it that replaced all the cards with Pokemon cards.
I knew that you had a news bit about it. I didn't pick up that you had played it. And sometimes DLG bump is more like a DLG push in the right direction. You devs, you listen up. You want to make millions? Don't do what we do. Just listen to what we say.
Yeah, that was good advice, Bobby. Are they giving you royalties, though?
Oh,
not that I know of.
We need to solve that. That's crazy. Okay.
We need to see if we can interview them. That's what we need to do.
I was just looking at their site to look at that. They have a Gmail at the bottom. They seem very accessible in Discord. I think we can make it happen, but I don't, you know, someone here wants Christian? To do it. Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's my department now. I need you to take a back seat.
Sorry.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'm burping a baby. No, let's not talk about it. Let's ping things.
I'm pinging the Wild Robot. I just saw this movie.
How many times did you cry?
30, like twice or three times, dude. And I laughed.
So good, dude.
It's so good. I can't remember the last. I was talking to Sam. I was like, I don't know when the last time I saw a movie this good. It was incredible. And, you know, it's a child's movie, kid's movie. So it's, I thought of it.
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. Well, yeah, it's definitely a kid's movie. Like, it's rated G, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's rated PG. Fucking things get their heads popped off.
There's open death in a kid's movie, which I found refreshing and, like, necessary. I think it, like, I don't know. I don't know if Bluey made it okay, which is a
No, I think what it is the creators wanted to, like, get it to say that, like, essentially the wilderness is supposed to be unforgiving. And there is no, like, treaties in the wilderness, right?
And then although they make one anyway, spoilers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but
anyway, yeah. Incredible. I mean, I don't want to give any more away. You just must watch. It's a must-watch movie. It's the best
watching
movie I remember. Yeah,
I will
it's
watch
so good.
It tonight.
Five out of five for sure. You'll cry. Bobby will leak oil. It's a good time,
dude. Fucking Mila was like, I was like, hey, are you good? And she couldn't even talk. She was crying so hard, dude. Yeah,
that's great. That's a memorable movie for a kid, you know.
Like, and you know what it is? It's not the it's not the sad tears. It's the proud tears. The movie is filled with proud tears. That's what makes me cry. It's not sad stuff. It's when I feel proud of things.
For sure.
Get choked up right now.
Okay, before the waterworks come, let's move on to highlights. So these are games we have been playing, and Bobby's going to start us off.
All right. As promised, this week I played God of Weapons. Thanks again to Burn Division for gifting me that game. This is a Survivors-like plus inventory management. So two really cool concepts being mashed together here. Did they pull it off? Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay. All right. Go on.
I'll give it an unenthusiastic yeah. So let's talk about the survivors-like part first. It's pretty decent. My biggest gripe with it is they've got this forced perspective angle that you're looking at. It's not top-down like most survivors-like games. It's like at this angle that can really cause some visibility problems. Number one, things can get in your way. Number two, it's hard to judge when enemies can hit you. It feels like my character has a very big hitbox. I'm getting, like, as soon as they get within, like, groping range, like, I'm taking damage. And you can take a lot of damage all at once, too. There's none of that, like, half second of invincibility. So you can just get blown up all of a sudden and not know what happened. So that angle is a little weird. It makes it difficult to judge your attack range and the enemy's attack ranges. And you don't really get much to do except run around a very, very small map. These are very small maps, and you have a dash that gives you invincibility for a little bit, but that's about it. The rounds are quick. Like, you play some of these survivors-likes, and they go on and on forever. This one has very quick, like 30 seconds to a minute, basically. Wow. But the problem is the entire, like run is still like an hour, man. Like maybe just shy of an hour, but it's pretty long, and you can't save.
No.
Yeah. So you are committed. I am alt tabbed out of a game right now, because I'm on a pretty good
and well, I can't you always save leave it. Your computer on, Bobby. So maybe just let this one run.
Yeah. I tried to lower the resolution so my fan wouldn't be all loud while it was running. Because the graphics are really good in this game. Like very good, probably the best graphics I've ever seen in any Survivors like game, including Deep Rock Galactic. Like it just has very good graphics. Like it's strange to see it in this type of game. But yeah, so the Survivors like is pretty cool. I like how you have the shop at the end where you get to buy items, instead of just like picking upgrades like randomly throughout or as you level up, and they give you a pretty good amount of gold. So you can re-roll the shop and like really dig for what you're looking for. I like that. I like a game that lets you stretch your legs and like really, like build your build, like, you know, doesn't like limit you, like where you always feel like you're just like, you don't have enough money to do something cool. This one does. Now let's talk about the other side of this, the inventory management that they combine it with. This part's good, but it's different than what I'm used to. It's a different take on inventory management.
Now that you're a connoisseur.
Yeah,
now
you're exactly. An expert. Expert in the field here on this. So there are some things that are typical of inventory management, like you expand your inventory, then you choose new items, then you put them next to each other. They get buffs, so you can combine certain ones, and the placement matters. The only thing that I don't really like here is in order to move things around, you can't just take everything out of your inventory and say, okay, let me start from scratch. Now that I got all these new items, let me start from scratch, move everything out, and then just like build this back up from zero. You can only take one thing and place it outside of your inventory. And then you have to like move this one over here and then that one over there. And okay, now I got enough room to like temporarily put this one here and move another one into the slot. It's like this real frustrating way of doing it. And you can level up like these abilities and get another one that lets you place two items outside of your inventory. But still, it's kind of weird that it makes you do that. It totally changes how you build it. Because basically you got a few options. Like number one, you could just sell all your items and say, okay, I'm going to start from scratch. Or number two, you could just say, you know what, like the stuff in this corner is just, it's stuck, man. Like I'm not going to undo that mess. So I'll just build over here and like try to get some momentum going in this part of my inventory.
That's kind of cool though. It means I dig it. Yeah, I kind of interesting. It. Okay.
I mean, at first I really hated it. And then as I played more, I was like, okay, I kind of understand what they were going for. Like this is part of their design and it works in that way, but I still think it would be better just if you could just say, you know what, clear the table and let me just redo the whole inventory. Cause again, the inventory management, that's what I'm looking for here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. It's got meta progression. So you can, you unlock stuff, after each run, you unlock classes and different subclasses of those classes and then different buffs and items and stuff. So like the usual stuff there. So it's a pretty solid game. I mean, for $6, this, I would definitely recommend this one. It's, it rates pretty high up there, I'd say, on Survivors like, plus with the inventory management thing, I think it's got a lot going for it.
On the Steam page, Bobby, I'm watching someone play it, and he has a bunch of like beef tenderloin in his inventory. And there's also some handcuffs, feather dusters, and things that don't look like they're for combat, like a stopwatch. What is the, like, how is your character using that in the Vampire Survivors mode? And then what order do they
use
those
items that you just described? Yeah. There's two kinds of items. You have weapons, and then you have like, I don't know, items or I don't know what they're called, but you just described the items and they have buffs like, you know, plus 12% resource gain, but minus 2 armor. You know, that's what those things do. Okay. And they have different tiers. So they add more stats or less stats, but depending on their tier. But yeah, those are the little ones. The items are like the little ones you kind of like squeeze in between all your weapons. But right. It's really about getting a bunch of weapons. And your character, when he's running around fighting on the map, you can see all these little weapons floating around him. Or if you stack a bunch of shields, you see the shields floating around you. So visually, it's all represented too, which I really like.
Oh, cool.
Like again, graphically, this is the best looking Survivor's Light game I've seen to date.
Quick question, Bobby. Have you gotten any like broken combos yet that got you pretty far, like progressed a lot?
I keep going for like this lifesteal build, but I've had the most luck with the knight with this. I think it's the weaponsmith subclass where the more types of weapons you have, the faster you attack. And the knight in general, like he usually stacks armor as well. So I've had a lot more luck with that. The rogue was not my cup of tea. Never is, really. Never been a rogue guy.
You have that tattoo, anti-rogue, which doesn't help things. Yeah.
Yet I can spell it right, which is, you know, unusual, but in the gaming community. But I just unlocked the wizard, and wizards are always the most fun in any game. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Spells are
cool.
That's
just always the case. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lightning bolt.
Nice. Is that all on God of Weapons?
That's
do you feel like a god of weapons?
You really do. Yeah.
Okay.
it is appropriately titled.
Okay, sweet. All right, Nick. You're talking about some Warhammer. What's going on?
So I'll be talking about Space Marine 2 today. Interesting thing is I actually finally beat the game. Me and Leslie played through the whole thing. She wouldn't let me play with anybody else, or she would file for divorce. Those threats were real when she bought a printer and ink for it. I'm kidding, by the way. However, I will say that this game is definitely worth the $60 so far. It took about 9 hours to beat, and that was doing most of the stuff in the story. We weren't really running around looking for the data slates and things like that. I talked about how there's a PvE mode the first time I talked about this game. I haven't explored that yet. We need a third person to do that. Amelia, since you're not working on the weekends anymore, you're being recruited to the Emperor's Chosen.
Yes, my lord.
From what the PvE mode is, for those who missed it the first time I talked about it, in the story, you and your team are being split into two smaller teams, and the other team does things in the story that affect like the main story. But the enemies you fight in the PvE mode are unique. Like you fight a hive tyrant and a bunch of other things that you don't fight in the normal story mode. So there's like incentive if you want to just see new content, new fights and stuff. And then the other thing is that you choose a specific class instead of being like this omni class space marine, and you actually level up your perks, and there's more perks and customization in the PvE mode than there is in the multiplayer. It really seems like that PvE mode is actually what they're trying to sell the most. They're talking about putting in a horde mode. They've already confirmed that's coming in by the end of the year. They confirm new enemies and new weapons by the end of the year.
Jocko, shut the fuck up!
Chaos customization for the beginning of next year. What I will say that I like my one gripe about this game, because what I will say that's a positive before I say a negative, because I'm just that kind of guy.
No, start with the negative. Be a Bobby.
Okay, I'll be a Bobby.
I start with 5 negatives.
The leveling in the multiplayer is really slow. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
No, it's slow to the point where it gets kind of annoying. So instead of just playing one class and unlocking everything for that class by just playing that class, you unlock little bits and pieces for every class when you just play, right? So there's 6 classes. There's like a heavy, there's a guy with a grappling hook, there's a guy with a jetpack, there's a guy with like a little scanner, all these other things, there's a sniper. Let's say I just play heavy, right? I'll get customization for looks, but I don't get the heavy second heavy weapon until I'm level 16. I've put about 24 hours into this game, and I'm still only like level 11.
That's so weird, because like,
and I'm pretty decent at the game.
They don't get like more money for you playing longer, right?
Well, apparently, there's a lot of people say that. So one thing that this multiplayer is getting a lot of praise for is that it feels like a 2010 shooter. It feels like a Gears of War. It feels like it's like a culmination of like Gears of War, Space Marine 1, and kind of like I don't want to say Halo because there's no like running and jumping. But really like a class was like a Rainbow Six where like everybody kind of has their own classes and stuff. The balance is that only two of each class can be chosen there. You can't have just a whole team of heavies. And the same thing goes for the PvE mode. Only one of each class can be chosen. Like I said, the shitty thing is that like I've put so many hours in heavy. I have every single customization option open for heavy. I do not have the second weapon yet. And there's three weapons for the heavy. Some classes only have two weapons. And then some classes have seven weapons.
Nick, do you think it's a higher drop rate if you're playing a different class to get something for another class?
It's not drop. It's just pure XP. Like, it's just pure XP for your account.
That does sound broken, though. That does.
Well, the Emperor doesn't choose favorites, I will say. I've heard.
He fucking does, okay? He massacred his first Space Marines. No, I'm not going to load up now. he very much has favorites, okay?
Hey, Nick, there are DLCs. What are the DLCs, and are they worth it?
So the first DLC is not officially out yet. Right now, if you buy like the special version of the game, you get the Battle Pass that's coming out. And that includes the DLC and everything. So I'm just going to say it. If you like action games, you like story games, you like PvE mode, and you like 2010 shooters, this is the game for you. I would buy the gold edition, not like the super mega edition or whatever it's called, like the middle tier, because you do get the battle pass and you do get the DLC, and the DLC is supposed to be $20.
I would also reiterate that it's worth the $60. The production value is there.
Yeah, it's one of the most detailed games I've ever played. And what's funny is I've got this new niche of things I do when I'm bored. I will look up clips from the game that are memorable, but in different languages. And there's a moment where the Cadian Guard are giving inspirational speeches on top of a tank. And when it's in Japanese, it is so cool. Like, it is so badass. It's a piece of art. Even if you don't like Warhammer, it's just a good game in its foundation.
When I was in grocery, they would always tell us, you know, all the good snacks are at the checkout because they want you to make the impulse buy, and that was, you know, somebody put a Snickers right at eye level for Christian. He's like, spot.
What I will say is that I will be making a 10-minute video about this. I will not be making the video until the Chaos customization comes out, because I'm a Chaos fanboy. My favorite faction is in the game. They're represented very well in the game. However, you cannot play them. When the Chaos customization comes out, apparently you're supposed to be able to play them. It's been teased. So we will see on what happens. I am super excited. And that is Space Marine 2. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I love you. Bye-bye.
The Emperor loves you too. That would be like, I'm trying to figure out what that would be like for me, a Star Wars nerd. I think it would be like if they added like the Yuuzhan Vong in a game and you got to play it as them. Like, I would be so nerded out. And then like you fuckers would be like making fun of me and I'd be hurt. I'd be laughing, but on the inside I'd be hurt. I'd be like, ha.
You're just crying through the smile. You're like, oh, that's so funny.
All right, Emilio. Thank goodness you are sitting here. But what are you talking about today?
A game called Thank Goodness You're Here. It's named that because most of the characters you walk up to and slap, that's the only way you can interact with anything is slap it. You're this tiny little guy that's in a weird world, and it's very funny looking. And I can't remember the last like comedy game that pulled it off. That's just like funny most of the time, like 80% of the time is like batting 1,000 in anything else, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like this lewd and cheeky British humor, and some of the stuff doesn't, a small amount doesn't land just because it's so British, you know, like it's talking about local stuff sometimes, but it is fucking funny throughout. Last week I alluded to like you beating off the fishmonger, you know, because he put his wiener in the ice. But that's not most of what's going on. Okay. Like most of it is just like conversations that are funny and the way people talk and just stuff like that. For I believe $8, you get 3.5 hours of gameplay. But like I think you could beat this in one if you just ignored everything and didn't smack everything, but you feel compelled to smack everything because like almost there's a pretty good chance something funny is going to happen.
What did you call this last time? A slap exploration. You had like a clever term for this type of game, didn't you?
I think they named it themselves.
Oh, they named it. Okay.
Yeah.
This is getting like comedy of the year vibes. I want to play this really bad. It's so funny because like the British comedy does go over a lot of people's heads, but the fact that the only way you interact with stuff is just slapping it. They made a bunch, the company that made this game actually made a couple of games that Days has complimented and talked about. This is like their big project that they've been working on that kind of culminates with some of the mechanics of the other stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
One of my favorite reviews was somebody that was talking about how the creator of Deus Ex said that a perfect game would be a character walking around a city block that was perfectly like manicured and designed, and he's like, "It's arrived! Like this is it!" Because he's just walking around one city block. But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. You're going down in the sewers. You're doing all kinds of weird. It's weird. It's weird, and it's hilarious. And personally, like, I love absurd humor. Probably, I would say that's my number one type of humor. So it's really landing pretty well for me. I have a smile the whole time I'm playing. For $8, it's a highly recommend for me.
You had a very emotional week, aren't you? You got a fucking Wild Robot. You got this game. You got the freedom of movement and time now on the weekends. You're just enjoying yourself so much, huh, buddy?
I'm a different man. It's one
you haven't
enjoys.
Won a game of Commander yet. It's great.
Hey, fuck off. We'll talk about that later.
Cool. The color has returned to Emilio's skin for anyone who's listening.
They went from tan to brown.
the joy is in his cheeks. I'll be talking about Frostpunk 2. Where did I leave you all off last week? I was a little disappointed that the game didn't grip me story-wise. That's what I come to Frostpunk for. Of course, Frostpunk is this choice-based macro city builder, or Frostpunk 2, I should say. And I love Frostpunk 1, and so I had a difficult time with the Frostpunk 2 intro because I understand what they have to do. They have to make you understand all the mechanics of the game because there's so much going on. And to do that, they sacrifice story for expediency. In 3 hours, which is quite a long time, they basically want you to know everything there is about the game so that after that, you can really dive in. You don't have any more tutorial pop-ups. You understand everything you have to do and you can kind of just go and play with it. So I played the game for 3 hours and I was like, what the fuck is this? Basically, I was like, where's my story and my Frostbuck? And then pretty much right after that point, it hit me with like awesome storytelling and the
all
political,
the feels.
All the feels and the political mechanics were awesome. There was an old lady in my settlement who was like, I noticed we haven't been storing enough food and me and some of the elders have gotten together and we are just going to walk into the wasteland so that you don't have to feed us. And that'll, you know, cut down how much you need. And I was like, yeah, that was my failure. I didn't build the farms and said I wanted to mine the coal. I'm sorry. I had a lot of priorities, but of course I didn't say that. And they walked into the snowland and they died. And just the music.
They don't even eat that much, dude. And they're really warm and snuggly, dude. Like
they didn't need to do that.
They're really frail and their bones are frozen right as they're in the cold, dude.
Well, sometimes it's a thought that counts, okay?
The amount of knowledge you marched into the fucking wintry abyss, dude.
Sheesh. Yeah. Okay, so maybe
how many winters have they survived?
A lot. Only to at least 30. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an elder out. Now. Is just 30. She had 32 year elder.
17.
I'm walking to the fray. I do have a question for you, Sniper. Okay. Do you think that this game would benefit from something like what the newest Total War Warhammer game came out
Pharaoh?
With? Where? No, not Pharaoh. The Total War Warhammer, not Total War game. So Total War Warhammer 3 has a function where when you begin the game, it asks you, have you ever played a Total War game? You click yes, and then it allows you to skip the tutorial, and so nothing is explained to you. You can just go right into the main story, right into the main game, the meat potatoes, and go from where you are. But if you click no, you are giving a tutorial story as well as tutorial matches to kind of teach you all the mechanics of the game. Do you think that's like Frostpunk for returning customers would be like, hey, did you play Frostpunk 1? Do you like City Builders? Are you a ruthless dickhead? You know, click yes, and then allows you to skip through.
I want to say maybe, but I almost feel like maybe they had that option and took it out because this game, it's nothing, well, it's not nothing like Frostpunk 1, but it's doing so many new things that I feel like someone's like, yeah, I played Frostpunk 1, I'm going to skip the tutorial. Then they head to Frostpunk 2 and they have no fucking idea what they're doing because everything is different, mechanically at least. You know, it still has the same feel and story, but there's just, yep. Hello.
Yeah, it would have been less fun had somebody, you know, somebody who thinks they're a Frostpunk 1 master and just goes in there and they get decimated and waste 5 hours of their first run. That's way less fun than going through a 3-hour tutorial is pretty heavy, but.
Honestly, after going through it, I understand a lot of the negative reviews, and I went back to look at the playtime for a lot of those reviews, and it's usually around 3 to 4 hours. Some of them have product refunded, and I almost want to reply to everyone and just be like, you're almost there, boy, keep going. But maybe they had two hard decisions, like, oh shit, we have this game, it has all these new mechanics that are fun, and we have this awesome story, but we can't really put them together, we haven't successfully put them together in the tutorial. But one has to come before the other, and this is just the way we need to tell people about it. So I empathize, but at the same time, you know, now that I'm in the story, it's so good. And the management aspect and all the new mechanics are very satisfying to play around with, like the politics of your city. There are the Wastelanders, who, of course, in Frostpunk 1 were the only type of people. They came from the Wasteland and they joined your city. Now that it's been 30 years, the New Londoners, you know, the young punks, they're new to the scene. They're born in the city. They don't know the frozen wasteland. They were born around the hearth and the fire. You know, they have soft hands, and the game is kind of playing old against new in that way. And it's fun to manage both those groups' expectations. There's a point in the story where, spoilers, the steward, who is you from the first game, is sitting overlooking the new part of New London. And he's going through like all the recent political actions that you took. Well, you build this research facility, you blow up these coal fields to, you know, bring about new energy. And he's nodding, but he's frail and he's in his chair. And then this young woman comes up behind him and she's like, yeah, you guys did a great job. And this world is now ours for the taking. And he's overlooking this big window. And the way they framed it, it seems like she's going to push his wheelchair out the window. He's not going to be able to withstand this. And she's going to be the force that takes over. But instead, she walks him through the city and then she just leaves him out in the cold to die. And then you start like the new part of the story. And I'm just like, okay, I'm in it. These fucking New Londoners think they're hot shit. They're going to leave me out to. And yeah, that's when they kind of intro themselves on the scene. So very satisfying. I hope it's the perfect baby game to play. Like, I hope when she's sleeping, I can like get into this for an hour or something, but I guess we'll see. And Frostpunk 2.
Noise machine, dude. Noise machine.
Noise machine. Oh, yeah. Noise machine.
It's already ordered. I've been doing noise machine ever since. I can't not. It's a needed household appliance, which you might talk about later. that was Frostpunk 2.
Dude, that I love that. That dichotomy between, you know, the new soft generation and the old hard generation. And yeah, that's great. What a great place to tell a story.
Totally. And it's not necessarily that they're soft. They're almost selfish in a way. Like they're like, oh, we have this city. Now what are we going to do with it? Yeah. Whereas the Wastelanders are like
ambitious.
Ambitious, yeah. Whereas the Wastelanders are more like, we banded together to survive and we hold those bonds tightly and they want to destroy those bonds and expand the city. So anyways, great.
I do think it's funny that you were like, oh, as she almost pushed him out the window, it would have been crazy. But then you literally pushed all your elder folk out the window.
Okay, let's not. Yeah, I didn't see that coming, but like 30 minutes before, I just like banished everyone over the age of 35 or whatever it was, 40. Cool. On the radar, we're moving on down to games that we haven't played but have caught our attention. And Bobby, who hasn't talked and I've been tracking 28 minutes, has something to tell us. Please let us hear your beautiful voice, dude. What's going on?
All right. This week, I'm going to be talking about Ghostbane for my radar. This is basically a Phasmophobia clone. It's 1-4 player co-op where you play a group of individuals that are investigating ghosts. You run around with video cameras and other tools to detect them. All very familiar. It's coming out on October 6th, and there is a prologue available. So I saw the Steam page. I got excited about this because it looked like Phasmophobia, but it was a lot more visual. Like, I could actually see the ghosts and see things happening in the game. Whereas Phasmophobia, I have a 34-inch monitor that is black, except for, like, a 3-inch diameter area that is lit up. And then somebody screams and, like, something gets tossed to the other side of the room, but I don't see it because it's a very low-res game. Like, I have no idea what's going on in that game.
Yeah. It's funny to me how much you not dislike Phasmophobia, but all your criticisms I find fascinating. Like,
yeah. And nobody else is like, you know, I don't know what's going on. Like, there's thousands of people.
No, yeah, like no, everybody loves the game. But yeah. I mean, I think you guys would agree because you, I mean, Nick has played it a lot, but I think the rest of us are a little lost when we get in that game. There's just I don't understand the visual language of the game. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Very patiently looking at us like a disappointed
father. I've never seen a ghost in that game. Like even like I take the pictures and it's like this blurry thing or like maybe I see a shadow. Like I've never really seen a ghost. And if you look at Ghostbane, you look at the Steam page, it's like, oh yeah, that's a ghost like right there. And there's like a lab and there's spirits and stuff going on in there. It's like, it just shows you what's happening a little bit more. So I'm like, that's really cool. You know, like maybe this could be good. It's Halloween time. Maybe it's something we could all play. And then I noticed there's a prologue available, which they're now calling demos these days, the prologue, you know, because it sounds cool. So I clicked on that and the reviews were not great. So I was a little disappointed in that, but the big complaints are all bugs, which wasn't a problem for Phasmophobia. So, I mean, maybe it won't be a problem here, but, a lot of
bugs.
I didn't know if there was a price on this game yet.
Yeah. $12 introductory offer, ends October 20th.
Well, that's crazy. I swear when I checked the Steam page like yesterday, there wasn't a price there.
DLG makes things happen immediately. I don't know if that you've picked that up, but this episode
we just learned that. Generate things in existence.
Yeah. Right as the words came out of your mouth, Bobby, I refreshed the Steam page.
What if we found out anything we talk about happens in the gaming industry? Like, it'd be incredible.
We should stop talking. Wow. I don't know. You could be a force for evil.
Christian, you literally made Frostpunk good. By your complaints last week.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my God. I would still love to check out this game. Like if we could all get together for some Halloween fun, I would love to play this game with you guys and just, you know, see what happens. So the big complaints about the demo were bugs. And I looked at the reviews, they were from September. So maybe between then and, you know, a month later in October when they release it, they've addressed a lot of those. They also complained that the demo only lets you play with two people instead of the full team of four. So I'm sure that will be fixed in the full game, but I'm willing to give it a shot. The reality is it's living in the shadow of Phasmophobia. And I don't think you can really compete with that game. It's just, you know, it's got so much market share in that genre. So I think that's hard to break into.
But, it literally came out today. Today is the day that it says for its release date.
Oh, today is the 6th. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So JP... Okay. A man named John has a girlfriend and his girlfriend went ghost hunting and played played Phasmophobia. And she's like, this is all the stuff that we use. This is all of our tools. He told that last night. I was like, that's so cool.
Wow. Nick is politely smiling in
He was there.
Success.
I was there. Okay. Yeah. It was nice. Actually,
you can't
what's funny
see ghosts
we...
in real life, Bobby. You fucking idiot. No, sorry.
Because they're not fucking real.
Could
okay?
you imagine you're grabbing them, throwing them against the wall? You're not supposed to see them.
I would appreciate seeing a ghost. I think I'm on Bobby's train, and I would be excited to play Ghostbane. Why not? For $12?
You know what's so funny is I'm clicking through Ghostbane, and everything looks so dark. I can't see anything in these fucking pictures.
What are you talking about? Let me click on this link.
All of them, dude. All of them, except for the part where it looks like they're capturing the ghost. Everything's incredibly dark.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so it is dark, but the part where they're capturing the ghost, like you can actually see what's happening.
Okay. Right? The important part is seeing the ghost. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Cool.
Okay. So, yeah, this is not something that just came out. It's actually been out for a little smidge of a time. But it's in my radar because I was forced to play it. For those who do not know, I was sick for about two and a half weeks. I lost my voice being sick and then yelling at a five-year-old soccer game as the coach. So, yeah, that fucked me up. I couldn't cast for 2 weeks. We've been missing the MTG podcast for 2 weeks, even though there are people to sub in. Certain people didn't want to sub in because there's a foreign aspect of it. But hey, those people actually met now, and maybe they might do a show together. What I'm going to be talking about is something called Spell Table.
Okay.
It is a genius idea, and from my understanding, because I know a guy who's been playing on it for so long, since like really it's first inception, it has come a long way. A very, very long way. Emilio, you used to not be able to flip cameras, by the way. Anyways, so what Spell Table is being able to play Magic the Gathering with your physical cards online. The way it does this is you use your webcam to point down at your desk, and the game actively scans the cards, all this other stuff. I know Amelia's already talked about this. But what I will say is that as someone who has thousands of dollars worth of cards, this makes it feel so worth it to be able to play with your friends, also talk in chat and everything like that. I think I've played probably 9 sessions of Spell Table so far. Like, I look at Leslie, I'm like, hey, do you want me to message Amelia and Samir and see if they want to play? And she's like, yeah, let's do it.
It's so much fun.
It's one of the best default things to do for the night, right? Like, if you have nothing planned for the night, you have no chores to do, nothing else, you go, hey, let's play some Commander and chit-chat. Because that's really what Commander is. It's not competitive Magic the Gathering, really, unless you do play competitive Commander, and then you're a dickhead and no one likes you. But in reality, Commander is like the communal form of playing Magic. It's
the social game.
Exactly.
I haven't won once and I don't care.
Yeah. And I've been bullied a lot, which is great. You know, by my own friends.
You
look
pretty frustrated. I saw you shuffling your cards like agitatedly after you got taken out last night. Like I could just tell in your,
I will talk about this on the Magic the Gathering podcast. We did interpret the rules wrong. And officially, like, we interpret them wrong. It's actually something that has been talked about on a podcast before. But it's completely fine. I summoned my second strongest creature, and then my buddy got rid of it. And the thing is, you shouldn't be able to get rid of it. Regardless, Spell Table is awesome. Even if you don't have Magic the Gathering cards, like a bajillion of them, you can go to Costco right now. You can go buy a Commander deck for $50, and it comes with 3 packs that can possibly contain upgrades for your deck, as well as 2 guaranteed Planeswalker cards, and you will have a blast just talking to your friends and playing online. Ease of the system scanning the cards and then being able to read them. Granted, the people you're playing with have to have a clear camera. However, the ability to do that and you don't have to ask for everything. When I play my cards, I go, here's my card. I'll quickly mention what the main part of it does. And then I go, if you want to read more, click on the card. Go.
Two things I want to say. One is that's one of the advantages of this over when somebody plays a complex card, there's a lot of complex cards in Commander. In real life, you got to be like, can I see your card? And they have to pass it over to you. And you got to hold it. And you got to read it. And then give it back to them. Yeah. And now you just click on it or ask for the name, and you could read it as long as you want. Like sometimes when you do that in real life, you're like, you want to give it back faster than you still don't understand it. You just pass it back because you don't want to hold
you're
up
being
the
like
game.
Polite. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, right. But here you have all the time in the world because, you know, for it to go all the way around. A typical Commander game is like 40 minutes to 2 hours, but most of them go 2 hours. And the other thing is like, it's like an epic saga that happens every game. Like I don't tell Sam how fucking Space Marine went, but I tell her how every game of Commander went because so much shit happened. And then this happened, and then these guys did this, and then we did, and then he couldn't believe, you know what I mean? And she's like, and she don't care, but I got to tell somebody.
Is this going to make an appearance in DLGCon, like online, since it's online format.
I am thinking
easy
about
to set up.
Hosting that as well. That might be the third thing I host. A little Listerine strip of what I might be hosting, a Street Fighter tournament.
Which I'll win.
Yeah, okay. You know how many sweaty people we have in our community?
Should we put money on it?
No, not right now. Later, okay. For sure. We'll start taking the legal bets.
Okay.
Spell table, and then also either Gang Beasts or Pico Park 2. So we'll see.
Pico Park, that was cute. Cool.
How am I gonna arm wrestle everybody into oblivion virtually? That's not gonna work out.
You're just gonna press space bar a lot? Is that what's gonna happen?
Yeah, something like that.
Quick time event.
Yep.
Press X.
That was Spell Table, a way to play Magic the Gathering where you use a webcam and able to play the game. Like I said, not on my radar because I couldn't play it or haven't played it. It's because I played it for the first time and wanted to share the love.
Wonderful.
We are currently on the radar. There's something in our Discord, coincidentally also called On the Radar. I got this from there.
Crazy.
Christian added this link. Usually I shout out the person. It was Christian this time. I thought about not shouting him out, but I guess he deserves it. Anyway, Arctic Eggs is the name of the game. It is so weird. So apparently it's like this post-apocalyptic frozen wasteland, and you are cooking people eggs. And it's overwhelmingly positive with 1,600 reviews. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking about it. And it seems like a physics game. Like people say that there's an art to flipping these eggs. They seem very slidey, and you put them on the pan, and you got to keep them on the pan and kind of cook them up. It's your job to keep everybody fed and happy and get through this whole thing together, I guess, is what I'm picking up from the reviews. It's a lot of times with these games, you have to watch out for sometimes memes. Meme games just get a bunch of upvotes just because it's so weird. But this is 97%, and I think they're genuine. I'm getting a lot of eyebrows from you, Christian. What's up?
No, I'm looking at the Steam page, and it's just so weird. Like, you cook the eggs with a puffer fish, with cigarettes, with a mini pizza, with bullet casings. I don't know what this game is. Like, I read the description. I don't know what it is. I read the Steam page. I don't know what it is. And it's kind of an interesting way to sell a game. It's just like, look, it's games about flipping eggs, and it's weird. Do you want to buy it or not? You know? Like, it's just like, do you want in? If you want in, we're here. If you want out, that's fine, too. So,
yeah. You're looking for the je ne sais quoi of this game so you can pass it on to your clients. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
I don't know what you're saying, but I do have an egg story. Amanda tells an egg story where she went to the East Coast and they asked her if she wanted her egg slimy. And she's like, slimy, what's that? And it's like, oh, it's like the top of the egg isn't cooked and like the slime is still on. And she was like, what? Why would anyone want their egg uncooked on the top and slime still on? That sounds disgusting. Anyways, that's what these eggs kind of look like. Like, they're like translucent, disgusting eggs. they're not like, gross. Yeah.
Hey, beggars can't be choosers, dude.
Okay. Yeah, these are what my people in Frostpunk in New London are eating, these eggs.
You should be lucky that they're not being cooked on a radiator or something like that. You know
exactly
what I mean?
They should be. Yeah. They should be. Okay. Well, guys, Bobby, Nick, Emilio, it's time for the game you have all been highly anticipating and waiting for. The game where you make money guessing a video game sound. $80 is in the pot. You listening to the show right now in your car, mowing your lawn, sitting on the toilet, whatever you're doing, I'm talking to you. Stop. Listen to my voice. You're going to hear a sound. Very important that you're listening. And then you're going to guess what that sound is. Here is the sound. I want to give you $80. I dream of giving you $80. You listening to this right now. I stay up at night thinking about you, wanting you to have this money. If only you would guess the correct sound. Patrons get two guesses. Every week I pick a random guess, and this week I'm choosing an answer from Corey. And he says, my guess is the firing the laser cannon while piloting the mech in Shogo Mobile Armor Division. What do we think about this, guys?
Same thing I've talked for the last 3 weeks. How many fucking mech games were there?
In the 90s that were anime?
Yeah,
the 90s.
A lot. It can't be. We got to be running out.
Well, it's not just
the game. Last hint. I feel like a lot of our guesses have been missing the anime hint. I think they may have been submitted before we revealed that. But yeah, still, I have no idea.
Okay.
And never Nick, will.
Do you know?
I don't know, to be honest. And my voice is starting to go.
Oh, okay.
But I there we go. That's better. I just need to get some water later. I do not know.
He's dying.
I know.
We've killed him. Oh, no. Okay. The laser cannon while piloting the mech in Shogo Mobile Armor Division. You're correct. I don't even have a sound because my sound.
Oh.
Corey, thank you for guessing. I said I talked about the game before. That was all true. I wouldn't steer you wrong. Shogo Mobile Armor Division, I think, is an underrated mech 90s anime game that came out that I played as a young kid. And it was cool because it had two alternate endings and it was like an FPS game. And I guess it was the first time that that had happened to me where I was like, oh, there's two ways the story can go depending on what I did in like Mission 4. But it's just an FPS shoot 'em up. Anyways, good guess, Corey. I don't know who you are. I don't know how you know this. I thought, surely I am only one of the only people who know what this sound is. So whatever tomfoolery you did, maybe you worked on the game. Maybe. I'm not saying you did. I don't know. But I'll send $80 your way. And thank you for playing the game where you guess money by making a video game sound, because I'm actually going to be off this podcast for the next 3 weeks raising a baby. And there will be no the game where you make money guessing a video game sound for 3 weeks at least. Maybe it won't ever come back. It depends if you like the bit. If you like the bit, tell Emilio, Bobby, and Nick, DM them in Discord. Don't
Corey
just send one message. Corey loves
Corey loves the bit now.
Corey and Scram. I think those are the only two winners because Scram won twice, but I like to think we had fun here. Emilio.
By the way, at the end of the 3 weeks, the baby will not be raised. Just letting you know, it's not going to be completely done.
No, it's not over at 3 weeks.
I don't know. I don't know how Canadian babies
I'm
work.
Raise
but
a baby for
that.
3 weeks, and it'll be ready to go. Hit Wall Street.
We don't just put it in the wasteland. Okay, I'll figure it out. But subs and donos, Emilio. Who do we got?
A guy named Biblioclasm, who I want to know that horse racing game that he brought at the last DLG con, if we could play that at this one virtually.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah,
that'd be dope. So get to me, Biblioclasm. Subscribe tier one, 29 months in a row, currently on a 29 month streak, killing the game. Next up, we have listener questions. Bobby, take it away.
That was so epic, dude. Okay.
All right. First listener question is from Pyronical. He asks, how many total never played games do you have on Steam and Epic? I think you should number them and use a random number generator to select one that you are then forced to play. And so I included a link here for you all to click on that will show you how many games you have never played. And it looks like you guys have spoiled the fun and written the number down here in our notes.
Oh, sorry. I'm just not good at remembering numbers. No, what
I'll
did
tell
you see,
why.
Bobby? Nothing. The number's not there anymore. It's gone.
I'll tell you why. I start off the episode sober, and by the time we get here, I am fucking blackout drunk, so I don't remember me putting my name in for an answer. Okay. Nick, you need to have the enhanced augmented Steam extension for this to work.
Yeah. So two things. I'll include this link in the show notes as well as a link to augmented Steam, because you should just have that anyway. That's a great plugin for Chrome and probably other browsers. But the link I included takes you to your recently played games, which is, you know, you can see a lot of interesting information on there. But if you have augmented Steam, you can click on a tab and it'll show you how many games you have, how much play time you have in Steam, which is also pretty depressing, and then also how many games you have never played out of your entire library. So it looks like we've got Christian coming in with 49.
Oh, spoilers, bro. I had a whole thing. No, I didn't have anything. Oh, yeah, 49. Okay. Yeah, I had 49. Yeah.
49.
That's respectable.
105. 105. I'm older, wiser, richer, so makes sense. Okay. More wasteful. Yeah.
Nick, I don't know if you're working on this, if you need some time.
I am right now. No, I'm just adding the extension right now and then refreshing the page.
Calculating, adding the two.
That is bewildering that you guys have not been using augmented Steam.
Do
you
know, he says, bewildering.
I used to, what that and then I wiped my computer. Yeah.
I don't even know what Steam looks like without that app or that extension anymore.
The thing is that I never use the web page. I always use the application. That's really? Why, yeah.
Yeah, same.
The Steam app runs like crap. For me, I don't know about you guys. Ever since they updated to HTML5, it was like, I don't know. I have weird issues. But trust me, now that you have augmented Steam, you're only going to be using the web browser.
I can't see the ghosts on Steam.
All right, Bobby. Did you save the best for last? Is that what we're building anticipation for?
I don't know if Nick's going to have his in time.
We can fill, fill a bit.
So yeah, I see all games recently played, followed reviews, and that's so, it. Like I don't see
like a little
so
weird
scroll
drop
up.
Up.
Do you see where it says stats?
Live tech support.
Stats. Yes.
Okay. Then click that.
Never
show
played
button.
Is 35.
35.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Oh, that's pretty good. All that's right.
Respectable,
very responsible.
Nick. Great.
So
great,
one
Nick.
Other thing that I wanted to mention too, you can actually open up the Steam client. And you can sort your games by unplayed, and you can see it. You don't get a count, but you can see which ones you've never played. I don't know if I'm going to number all those and pick one at random, but that would be an interesting idea. But there is a lot of crap in my library. All right, so we've got Nick at 35, Christian at 49, Emilio at 105, and I am at 2,897.
I never would have guessed that.
God, Bobby.
There's so many dimensions where I make a guess that don't even break 200. Like 2,000? That's crazy.
So, okay, I am seeing some shenaniganry on this page, by the way. So, for example, Battlefield 2042. I have played that. Apparently, it's not counting that because it's running from a different app or something. Like Dawn of War, I've definitely played that. Like all these Fallouts and stuff, I've definitely played them. Nick, I'm guessing because they use a different app, it doesn't count it.
Yes, ever since augmented Steam switched to HTML5, it's just been really
oh, okay.
Super unreliable. Yeah.
No, I mean, if you've added those games in Steam, like you haven't bought them in Steam, then yeah, it probably won't count them. But I should explain, my library is full of crap. Now, I am surprised I have so many unplayed games because I also use another application called Steam Idle Master. And what that does is pretend to run games so I get the card drops. And then I sell those card drops for like two cents a piece. And then, you know, you do that enough, you get like, yeah, you get a couple bucks in Steam that you can spend. But basically that means I've got about 3,000 games that don't have card drops, apparently, because if they did, then they would have shown up as played. Oh. And I've got about 7,000 games in my library, and I certainly haven't played about 4,000 of them. So a lot of
Jesus
that is just idle
Christ.
Time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's hard to pull relevant stats or data from my Steam library. It's a mess
why
over did, there.
Why are you saying Bob, that Bob, so give, pridefully, dude? Well,
Bob, give him a reason. I mean, maybe a lot of people don't know about Steam level, where you were ranked, and all this stuff. Like, I wouldn't know had I never talked to you, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can, it's totally different now. So back in the day, Steam introduced this thing where you could level up your account by crafting cards, and you get cards by playing games and all this stuff. It was a big money-making scheme for them, and they made a ton of money off of it. But now you could, like, the levels would allow you to upgrade your profile in different ways. But Steam has totally changed that now, and you can upgrade your profile in a bunch of different ways just by like spending money and getting those reward points or whatever, and buying like extra slots on your Steam page or backgrounds and things like that. So yeah, it's all completely changed. Nobody cares much about the levels anymore these days. All right. Next question from Atom. What's the first thing you would download when you get a new PC or laptop? I usually download Qubit Torrent for my Linux ISOs.
I think this is just a way for Atom to fucking flex that he uses Linux. I think that's all this is. I'm kidding, by the way. Minus Chrome. And Emilio's taking a pee, so he won't be back for about a millennia. So he also says Chrome. What about you, Bobby? Mm-hmm.
I think that's literally everybody. Like that's like the number one use of Microsoft Edge is downloading Chrome. That's all anybody uses that browser for.
The number one travel to URL is Chrome. Yeah.
And I love how it always asks, like, are you sure you don't want to give Edge a shot? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Pretty dude. Fucking sure.
Like 100%
like the guy outside the bar that's offering you like 3-day-old heroin. You're like, nah, I'm good, dude. I'm pretty sure I don't need that shit. All right.
Never met that guy. But for me, I don't know, when I first install Windows, it's less and less these days. There's a really good program out there called Ninite, N-I-N-I-T-E. It's a great way to install a whole bunch of apps all at once, especially if you're doing like a large deployment. And they've got an enterprise edition where they have a lot more stuff available. But I used to use that to install like a whole bunch of stuff every time, like I formatted my hard drive or something or reinstalled Windows. But now it's like it's pretty light, man. Like everything's on the web now, and I try to keep as little as possible on my computer. It ends up getting filled with crap anyway. I've been saying I'm gonna wipe my computer for like a month and a half now and just haven't got around to it. But yeah,
are you saying this too? Because it wasn't us.
I'm talking to the people here. They get
sorry,
get it.
You're right. We don't want to get in between you and the people. We're sorry.
But I do want to shout out one app that I have just found to be really incredible. It's called Directory Opus. It replaces File Explorer on Windows. File Explorer in Windows is like the worst part of Windows. It's so bad. It's terrible. They've said they're going to make changes, and I know they got like 24H2 or that new update coming out, and they're supposed to be focusing a lot more on File Explorer, but it's just been crap for a real long time. And there are so many, it doesn't have to be Directory Opus. You can use so many other things like Explorer Lite or Explorer Plus, all these programs that replace File Explorer and do like a way better job of it.
Is this the one that lets you see everything in your memory visually? Is that the thing we're talking about?
That's a memory palace, right?
No, that's WinDirectX.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Guys, sorry. Gong just in. Cricket Soldier in chat says, I use Edge.
Cricket Soldier, you're also a crazy person.
He says, I also don't know much about computers. You know, a lot of my coworkers use Edge, and it's surprising. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it what comes do they like default. About it? So a lot of people, no, I think it's just a default, you know? And so when you put a brand new computer, everything comes with Edge. Mm-hmm. And some people just don't make the jump over. Yeah. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's competitive now. Could be.
I spent a year using Internet Explorer. I was like, I'm going to give this a real shot and see how it goes. And
was it good?
No, not really.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. If you have a Google account, then like there's so many good things about using Chrome. Yeah, it just makes sense. Yeah.
I gave my soul over to Google a long time ago. Like I have Google assistants all throughout my house, and yeah, everything is Google. Even my iPhone is Googled as much as it can be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's in the EULA that you have to give that up. Your soul.
Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
All right. Next question from TanMan129. I think this is first time caller, long time listener, maybe. I don't know. I don't recognize this name, but thanks for submitting
the
question.
It is new from our list. Yeah. Right.
Nice.
Hey, thank you.
Hello. Right. Well, hi.
He or she or they say, if you could pick any game, world, or setting to settle down and have a family in, which would you pick?
This is kind of cheating because I've never played a Star Trek game. But I know there are out there. And I think the Star Trek universe is kind of utopian, you know, other than on the fringes where they're fighting aliens and stuff. Like, you know, they don't have money anymore. Everything's supposed to be pretty fucking cool. The guy who created the world wanted a future is kind of utopian. So I think that's pretty nice. Plus, you can fucking materialize anything you need. Like, incredible. Bigger and bigger dildos. Whatever you want.
Bigger and bigger dildos. Computer, give me a bigger dildo.
I need traffic cone size now.
Computer.
15 centimeters. 78 degrees.
I would choose Skyrim because everyone who's ever played Skyrim, I'm pretty sure, is playing it wrong. What you want to do after you, after you're forced to escape from the dragon and kind of fight it, you go into a small town where you get your first quest to go to the big town. And, you know, you're supposed to be acquainted in the world in a soft way before you get overwhelmed with quests and the needs of you in this world and that you're the dragonborn and everything else that comes with this. But in my Skyrim, I just go to the blacksmith shop, I start mining ore, and I start selling my mined ore to the blacksmith. And I kind of just role play like I live there, and I start sleeping in the same bed with his wife. And I just think this is where I would settle down. You know, I don't know if you guys remember this town, but you're coming down from the mountains. There's this beautiful stream that runs through it. Plenty of fish and wildlife. It's not really dangerous because it's like a tutorial area. I don't think the dragons are going to burn this up.
It is a nice little town.
It is.
It is.
And it's quaint. I just think it's a good place to raise a family, you know? Good values.
A little bit to add on that. When I first played Skyrim, I read, you can go anywhere that you want. And I was like, well, the path clearly goes that way, I'm just going to go in the bushes this way.
Yeah.
And then promptly, like maybe 15 minutes later, destroyed by a dragon. And I was like, maybe not, bro. Maybe not.
Go anywhere except for that way.
When you reach the first actual city, I think that's where the training wheels come off, and then you can't actually go any direction you want.
Okay, but there is Skyrim like Defender guaranteed. Nick over here. I don't know, yeah. Dude.
Don't, I have it up for my smart fridge, man. Yeah, that's how much I love it. Really? I'm kidding, by the way. Okay. No, no.
All right, Nick, where would you live?
Mass Effect, hands down. It's not as squeaky clean as Star Trek. But there's a moment where human civilization, after the first war that they have with like an intergalactic species, and they discover the Mass Effect relays, where there's essentially harmony for like a solid 50 years. And people get along and they share technology, and there's all these other cool things that happen. And, you know, like, yeah, it's just cool, you know.
Except for the entire universe is going to be destroyed in that game, right?
Like, that's unless you save it because you're Shepard, or if you're me, you become an intergalactic.
You're settling down. You're not saving worlds here. That was the question.
It's true. I'm making noodles on a spaceship. That's what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything else. But yeah, it's Mass Effect.
I love the aliens in there that can't put inflection in their voice, so they always add how. The inflection by words, so we're like
sarcasm. Striking,
yeah, sarcasm, striking rebuke. No.
All right, next question from Zap. What's one home appliance or gadget you can't live without? Mine's a bidet.
Ceiling fan, because I'm fat. Next.
You know, okay. Now that you say that, I'm also fat, and I have a fan on myself every night when I sleep, like directly at my feet. Sometimes my feet are hot, sometimes my head's hot. I might need two fans, but that wasn't my original answer. But,
jab of the hut.
I love having a multi-tool, but I can live without it because I lose them constantly. So I've spent probably $700 on multi-tools. You know, like Leathermans and stuff. I love kitting them out. I love customizing them and then losing them and getting a new one.
Yeah. I have a cat timer that I keep in the kitchen where I do a lot of cooking. And phones have taken, like, all the recipes are on the phone, and it's annoying. Like, the black screen comes, have to unlock the phone, I have flour on my hands, or a million ads pop up on my phone. I'm like, why the fuck are there so many ads? I just want the recipe. And it's just frustrating. And what takes the frustration out of that is having everything in physical form in front of you, as nature intended, including the timer for everything you need. So I have a little cat timer, and I use it. Be like, oh, macaroni is going to be done in 10 minutes. And in that time, I'm going to be like chopping vegetables and I don't want it to go over. And I don't know how many other, like when I tell people this, they're like, what? You have like a physical thing you turn to 10 minutes and then you let it tick tock? And I'm like, yeah, it's super useful.
The best.
And they're like,
no, it's not the best.
And they're like, I haven't Christian. Heard. No, clearly this is the best.
No, Christian, let me tell you about my loaded savior, Google. If you have a Google Assistant, it's a screen, right? And if you ask it for a recipe, it's a step-by-step page thing that you don't have to touch with your hands. You just say next page, and it already has the timers built in. Like nothing else could be easier. It's incredible.
Right. But where is
it's
your soul
going?
It's made
for recipes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's made for recipes? Yeah. I will consider it, but I just have thoughts about where I want my soul to go after, but I'll consider it.
Yeah. It goes to Alphabet.
All right. Final question from Time Killer B. For those who live in California, how often do you see those super big ass trees?
Not often is the answer. California is a big motherfucking place. Those big ass trees are way up north and nowhere else.
I will say they will change your life when you see them, though.
Yeah. Nowhere else on Earth, by the way. The Sequoia Redwoods are unique to, I believe, just Northern California and like one other not very far place.
The Sequoia. Island. Yeah. Like the,
But yeah, they're big fucking trees. Everybody talks about the one you could drive through. Yeah, they're big. There's always a big ass line of cars to go see them, though.
I used to live there for 26 years. I maybe saw them like 3 or 4 times a year, if that. And I live like 40 minutes away from them. So,
So I saw this nature documentary about them, and apparently, because they're like 300-400 years old, each one has its own biome in its branches. You can find unique species in each tree because each tree is an island. You know, they don't intermingle and stuff. So it's crazy, man. It's a crazy, crazy thing. That's a real life. It's real life medieval fucking Lord of the Rings shit.
That's cool. You can also find them in Canada and in China.
Fuck off, dude.
Sorry, I just looked it up. I just had to look it up. I don't know. I'm
Sequoia
sorry.
Redwoods? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
They're not in Canada.
Yeah, they're
China
in Vancouver.
Because they took them. They're not in Vancouver. I'm kidding. They stole our redwoods.
They stole the redwoods.
All right. Well, I guess that's all our questions. What is everybody playing next week?
Baby Raising Simulator 2024 should be good in 3 weeks.
Answering Sniper's Baby Questions 2024. Nice. I'm kidding. I will be there at all times to help with any advice. It may not be the best. No, really, I will be playing Magic the Gathering and Space Marine, hopefully the PvE mode with Amelia or whoever I can poorly convince to play.
You know, what's funny is both of those include me, and I think I'd rather play Commander than Space Marine. No slight to fucking Space Marine, dude. I just
don't know if we're always going to find a fourth that we like every time. I did get a bad taste in my mouth with the first randos we played in Spell Table. Yeah. I was like, this guy's drunk and the other guy has a hentai mat. Like, I'm all into hentai and everything, but not really when it devolves your fucking player and your personality into like an asshole.
Which is why we need more of you guys to get on Spell Table, by the way. $50 for a deck, and then Spell Table's free.
But leave your hentai maps elsewhere, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's... I guess me. Yeah, more Spell Table. I want to finish. Thank goodness you're here. Space Marine, probably. Yeah.
But what's Bobby playing? Did he say? I forget.
I don't know. I don't have a solid plan this week.
Okay.
I mean, we are in the season here. It is Halloween is quickly approaching. I would love to get some Ghostbane on the calendar, but I don't know if that's going to be this week.
Just saying. All right. Speaking for
every time he says that, he's not down. By the way, we're like, oh, you want to play after? He's like, oh, let me go check with my family. He's like, oh, sorry guys, had to go. We're like,
dude, just promise that I can play for 4 hours straight.
Absent titties. Bye, everyone. They're not even there.